Well, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Well, good morning. Well, let me say, it is always a privilege and an honor to talk to you guys about Jesus, because I tell you, it's true. How could you want more? You got Jesus. Well, you know, I always like to give you guys encouragement to read the Word of God. There is a great quote that, you know, yesterday with the men's breakfast, we were learning about the inspiration of Scripture and how powerful the Word of God is, because it doesn't come from simply man. It comes from God. It is literally God's words on paper for you and I to read and to sit before Him. And there's a quote that says, "When the Bible speaks, God speaks." So always remember that. When you're reading the Word of God, it's God speaking to you face to face. So I encourage you, read it, enjoy it. Know that there is power in the Word of God. So let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to bless our time, to bless the message, and more specifically, to bless our hearts so we can constantly rely upon Him in everything that we do, and always keep Him at the center. Father, thank You for this time that we have come together. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for Your Son. Lord, I am so encouraged to see people worshiping You, loving You. Lord, I pray that we're able to encourage one another to continue in that, to continue seeking You, to continue to telling others about You, to continue looking at Your Word and being in awe and to be overcome and to just take over, have all this joy come over us as we learn about You. Lord, be with those who are not here today. Let them know they are loved and they are missed, and we are praying for them right now. I pray Your Holy Spirit, that He comes here and just fills our minds and helps us focus on what You want us to know. Lord, You know what's going on in our hearts. You know what's going on in our minds. You know our woes. You know our frets. You know our anxieties. You know our anger, our prides. You know all of it. Help us to know You more than any of those things. To never get caught up in those sins, but to be caught up in You. So Lord, I pray that today you convict us where we need to be convicted. You encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And You fill us with hope, love, and peace so we can continue to live out the faith faithfully. We pray this in Your Son's name. So we're coming to the end of James. We're almost there. And James is at this point where he is speaking to Christians. So understand that this passage that was read earlier today by Melissa, he is speaking to Christians, and he wants to give them encouragement. And what he's basically telling them is, don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't forget Jesus in everything that you do, because it's very easy to do. In verse 13 of chapter 4, he's talking to, in the context, he's talking to businessmen and women. That these are Christians who own businesses, and they are making plans for their life. They're making plans for the future, and they're planning, because that's what we're called to do. We have to make plans. This world does not stop. And he's telling them, look, you who say, oh, you know, tomorrow we will go, you know, the future, I'm going to do this, and into this particular town, there's that destination that I'm going to go, and I'm going to spend this amount of time in that area, and then I'm going to do this particular activity, and I'm going to see these results, And this is what I'm planning on doing, and we're living this out because we got to do this. We got to continue living on. And James is saying, you guys are making all these plans, and God's not a part of any of it. Now, really, he's not saying they're not Christians, but he's saying you guys are so hardcore in what the future is going to hold and the results that you want to see and the time that you're going to spend. You have your calendars all done, and God is not a part of any of that. For us, what he's saying is when you lose sight of Jesus, brings us to a first point, that makes you a practical atheist. Now, what I mean and what he means is not saying that they don't believe God is not there. They don't believe that God is not real. They don't believe that Jesus Christ isn't the Son of God. That's not what they're saying. They believe in Jesus. But their life is reflecting as if God is not part of any of it. That God is just a Sunday thing. God is just maybe a simple prayer time, but that's it. And for us, it's very easy to get caught up in that. I mean, think about it. This world is literally screaming, grabbing you, pulling you in every direction, saying, you got bills to pay. Trust me, if you ever feel alone and no one likes you, stop paying your bills. Someone will come to your door, I promise. You'll get a visit. But the point is that you got bills to pay. You got a stress of a job. You got the boss telling you what you got to do. And you got to figure out how you're going to start living your life. You got to plan for the future. You got to plan for your retirement. You got to plan for your what type of health care you're going to have when you get older. I mean, you have the drama of just family. You have the drama of just your body breaking down, and you got to make those doctor's appointments. You got to see that doctor. You got to take that pill, because if you don't take that pill, that heart ain't going to beat anymore. And we get so caught up in it, and it's very easy to do so, as if God is not even there. Only on a Sunday, and only during a certain prayer, and maybe when we read our Bible. But that's it. We live our lives a lot of times like atheists do. That it doesn't matter if God's there or not. We still got to feed mouths, and we still got a job to do if we're going to get paid. And he's telling these guys, no, listen, focus in on Christ. Remember him. Keep him at the center. Don't lose focus in anything that you're doing. Because there's a quote from an old church document that says this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Our life, their life, needs to reflect that. Glorifying God in everything that we do. And enjoying him in every moment that we have. Atheists don't enjoy God. And sometimes we live life in such a way it looks like life is not an enjoyment. But God is alive. He is there. He is with you wherever you go. God is the one that declares what's going to happen in the future. Revelation 22, verse 13, he says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God is the one that's going to declare the future and how things are going to turn out. We don't make those plans. We can't. I can hardly keep my heart beating. I can't keep my mind working. It's God that's holding me together. The gravity that's holding us here, it's not just going off because science says so. It's working and in such a way that we stay here because God is holding it together. He is very much alive and part of our lives. Even our bodies aren't our own. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. Yes, we eat organic. Maybe. But and yes, we try to be healthy, maybe. But we try to live as long as we can because we're worried about death. And we do all these things in our life to make ourselves comfortable. And God, a lot of times, isn't part of that. He's just a Sunday thing. or maybe a devotion thing. And we're no different sometimes than the atheists out there too. They say, I do all those same things. Do we do it in a way that shows that we believe in God? That's what James is getting at. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39 says this, see now that I am he, there is no God beside me. It is I who put to death, and I who give life. It is I who wounded. It is I who heal. There is no one that can deliver from my hand. There's a quote that made a big mark upon me that says this, Jesus never came to be part of our lives. Either he is our life, or he has no part in our life. We constantly need to remember that. There's a quote from a movie. This one king says, I don't love people in slices. We need to make sure we don't love God in a slice of our life, but all of our life. Too frequently, I relate maybe you, but I know I relate to the parable that Jesus talks about, the story in Luke chapter 12. He says, and he told them this parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, aha, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. How many times have I related to that in my own life? I make all these plans. Hey, things are going well. Everything's working out the way I wanted it. Fantastic. And God is not part of that picture at all. But God says in verse 20, this is God saying this. He says, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? It all was God's. It wasn't his. See, James in verse 14 says, what is your life? You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. God does. For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We are called to remember. Remember, when God is part of your life, you're called to remember your mortality. You're called to remember that we're not, our bodies will not live forever in this world. They will come back at a later time in the resurrection, but we're going to die. And things will break. What matters, are we living for God in every moment? See, Psalm 139 says this, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Your days are numbered. We need to remember that. Job says, chapter 14, verse 5, you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. Remember that this life is called to glorify him, not ourselves. You may say, wow, that sounds kind of negative. Thinking about death? Ugh. Jonathan, what's wrong with you, Mr. Negative? Actually, there's wisdom in remembering that we will die. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this. I'll say it again if you want to write it down. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. There is wisdom in remembering that we will too come to an end here. So it's all about God. We need to remember life is called to reflect God. Our life is called to reflect God, not ourselves. How do you see this? So let's give us some practical examples, right? How would this look in our lives? Well, when you start making practical decisions about maybe a job change, moving, what type of investments you're going to make, maybe spending money, A lot of times we do those things without prayer. And what I mean without prayer is not necessarily that, oh God, help me figure out this out. What I mean is spending time and waiting to see where God is leading. That he is the one that's going to have the outcome of the future, not us. You know, even be more practical, that if you do move, I pray that you don't, we love you here, every one of you. Before you move and take a job position, are you asking the question, is there a good church that I could go to? Well, there'll be lots of money there, but is there a church that I can go to? When you take a new job position, even in a job, how is this going to affect my prayer life? How is this going to affect my devotional life? How is this going to affect my life amongst my family? Are we going to forget about God? These are the questions we have to ask, questions I have to ask. Sometimes we think that the smallest things in life that God's not really interested in, right? Even the smallest things. Let me tell you. Look at the book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Read through all those laws. Most people don't have that as their devotional life. For those, though people skip that part. Read it. Look at all the small details that God cares about. Not to be crass, but even where the people use the restroom. It's in there. Even down to what type of clothing, not wearing two different types of different cloth, their hairstyle, what to do with women and men at certain points in their life. The smallest details God cares about because it's all for him. God is very much alive and active and wants you to be, and wants you to remember that he is part of your life. In fact, all of life needs to center around him. Never lose sight of Jesus. Never lose it. We don't want to live our lives like practical atheists. You might think, Jonathan, that's insane. You're crazy. You need to go relax. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink. We're talking about glasses of water here. Whatever you do, you must do all for the glory of God. God is one of details, and he cares very much about your details. Praise the Lord, I don't have to live, it's not the Mosaic covenant, that Old Testament law, because that's done with. Jesus said a new covenant, but it still means all of your life is called to revolve around God. Every small detail. Whatever you do, whatever you say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all while giving thanks to God through him. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Which leads us to our second point. Losing sight of Jesus, you forget that God's the planner. Not you. God is the one that's making the plans ultimately in our lives. See, in verse 15, he says, instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, so funny, we will live. You will have life tomorrow. And we'll do this or that. Our lives are fully dependent upon God. He is the one that will ultimately guide everything. And just to throw some verses out there, to munch on, Proverbs 16, verse 33, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. Acts 17, verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, where men are going to live. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We need to seek God's will in everything that we do. Lord, am I living out your will, what you want? Are we living out your plans? We need to think seriously about what God wants. And not just pray, God, bless my plans. We need to ask God, bless the plans that you are making. I want to live that. That's what I want to live. Now, why would I say that? Well, Jesus did it. John chapter 4, verse 34, he says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 6, 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. So we are called to do the same. Psalm 40, verse 8, I desire to do your will, O God. I desire your will. You might say, well, how do I know his will, John? It's right here. He wants you to live this out. This is God's revealed will to us. What God wants from you and what he wants you to do with your life. Live it according to this word. Here's what one person said. This is great. This is a great quote. He's not necessarily saying here for James, he's not saying out of everything that you say, if the Lord wills, because eventually that becomes cliche and means nothing. What it really is, and this is what this one author wrote, God willing, right? That's what James says. God willing is a posture of your heart. So when things don't go right according to your plan, don't get caught up in it. Just know, obviously, okay, that's not what God wanted. Okay, let's move on. God showed what he wanted. I missed it. That's okay. I accept it. Because God wanted it, and I'm good with it. God is good, and that is enough. So no matter your age, no matter what stage you are in life, view life through the lens of God's will. And life will be exciting and joyful. And it'll start making sense. Because there's so much purpose when you're viewing life through the lens of Scripture. And you just become a joyful person. It'll be fun to hang out with you. It won't be negative all the time. You'll be like, well, that's what God wanted. Amen, let's go. God's still working, so we still got stuff to do. Because if you don't, if you lose that sight of Jesus and forget that God is the planner, something else will take its place. And that brings us to our third point. Losing sight of Jesus, you focus on self. Because in the end, then, it's all going to be about you. When Jesus is not at the core, the citadel of life. It says in verse 16, as you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Basically, what he's saying is that if you have any satisfaction in a self-accomplishment, look what I did. Look how much I invested and what I got out of it. Yes! I did it. Look at my family. Look at my job. Look where I'm living. Look what I did. That's evil. Now you may say, wait a minute. I've never actually said that out loud. In fact, if anyone did, probably people look at you like, that's kind of weird. But sometimes we say it in our heart, alone, when no one else is looking, and you sit down. And sometimes it's in our mind, we're like, I did good. But we don't say it out loud, but we'll say it here. And we forget, wait a minute, no. Every good gift comes from God. We didn't do it. And you might say, well, John, are you sure that's there? Yes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says this, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, trust me, we struggle with that. The desire of the eyes, we struggle with that. And pride in possessions is not from the Father, but from the world. We have to watch out for that. The pride in our possessions. Anything new. The obsession of when we get something new. No one else touched this. No one else be involved. This is mine. It can be there in the quietness of our heart. And we have to get rid of it. Sin is sin, no matter how big or how small. It's one sin that sends people to hell. It's not a bunch of sins. It's just one. It took Adam one disobedience to cast this world straight into hell. So, in verse 17 here, we're called to never boast, because if we're going to boast, we're called to boast in the Lord. Look what God has done, the good gifts that he has done, what he has blessed. You're like, well, okay, all right. In verse 17, it says this, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. Here's what that means in a nutshell. When you lose sight of Jesus, you focus on self, we start counting our sins the same way. Well, I didn't lie. I'm not speaking evil of people. I'm not doing anything. I'm just hanging out. And we think that's good. See? But James ups the ante and he says, but if you know that you can help somebody do the right thing, and you have the ability to do it, and you don't, and you're too busy focusing on yourself because you don't want to get involved, you don't want to invest, that's sin. Knowing the right thing and not doing it, and you have the ability to do it. Because what happens? You're focusing on you, and you don't care about that other person or other people or the church or your neighbors or a ministry or whatever. You focus on self. And Jesus is not about that. Jesus is, do unto others as have done to you. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Go out. The one anothering is about doing it. If God is directing you to do something kind, do it. If God is telling you to befriend someone, to tell them about Jesus, do it. If there's something that you need to give up and you know you need to, do it. Your time, your finances, whatever it is, if God is putting something on your heart to do, do it. And you'll be blessed. Jesus Christ didn't stay in heaven. He came down to earth to save. We're called to do the same. Not just to stay at one place. We're called to go out and invest and love one another as Christ has. And you will be refreshed. There's this thing I read, and I think it sums this up well. Start your day with Christ. Stay with Christ throughout your day. And then end your day with Christ. Never losing sight of him in all that you do. Live your life to reflect his glory. Live your life to do his will. And live your life to focus in on him. Watch what changes happen in your life. This is a thing that I have to challenge myself to do every day. Just because I'm up here preaching and studying the Word of God doesn't mean this finger doesn't point right back at me. Because I, just like you, struggle with sin. And I need Jesus just as much as you. So all of us here, let us spur one another to constantly keep Jesus on sight. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of the gospel so we can love you and one another. Help us, Lord, to see you in everything. Help us to follow after you and to never lose sight of your Son. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.